Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... Here is America, Episode 2, a 1961 visitor's guide to the United States. Very interesting for a number of things. It's quite educational, but it's also educational in terms of what's the actual propaganda coming through. It's sort of like counter-Soviet propaganda. Foreign trade. The United States trades with most nations. In 1960, exports were valued at $19.5 billion, and its imports were almost $14.6 billion. The leading exports are industrial and electrical machinery, textiles, grain, iron, coal, petroleum products, and other chemicals. Canada and Mexico are the single... are the largest single country customers and buy about one-fifth of the total. Some of the principal imports are coffee, petroleum, fuel oil, metals, paper, paper products from Europe, Latin America, Asia, and Canada. The United States has followed a policy of promoting world trade by lowering tariffs. This has gradually reduced the United States' duties on imports so much that they today 40% of goods enter the United States duty-free. The policy is set forth by the Reciprocal Trade Agreements Act, renewed periodically since 1934, which gives the President the right to offer to lower tariffs by as much as 50% in return for similar treatments by countries involved. Under the Act, the average tariff rates have been cut 11% on items that required duty payments. If duty-free imports are included, the average tariff on all imports now stands at 6.5%. In 1947, nearly two dozen nations, including the United States, met in Geneva to form the GATT, General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs. This provided for reducing tariffs of more than 45,000 items representing two-thirds of the imports to these countries. Since forming the GATT, a large number of other nations have joined in this effort to increase world trade. Science. The United States has long been leading position in science and invention. Today, more than 230,000 men and women are engaged in scientific research and development, with $12 billion or more being spent each year by government and industry for these purposes. Perhaps the greatest challenge lies in exploring space. President Kennedy has invited all nations to join the United States in developing Wealthier Prediction Program, a new communication satellite program in the probes which may someday unlock the deepest secrets of the universe. New metals developed for use in space satellites may bring new industries and new products in future. So here's a picture of, it looks like a gym, okay. A nuclear reactor is so safe that it's enclosed in glass, located in the heart of a large college campus in Washington, US Washington, Seattle. The X-15 rocket plane, which has flown higher and faster than any other plane, reaching speeds of 5,300 kilometers per hour. X-15. The giant spider web of the tracking radar, one of the devices developed in the United States to follow the path of spacecraft. There you go. In early 1961, the United States had sent to the sky a total of 37 of the man-made moons, known as Earth satellites, which are scores are still circling the Earth, and two are going around the Sun. Okay, so after the shock of the Soviets, they've sort of gone completely bananas. I think they launched the satellites from Australia. TIRIS-1 and TIRIS-2, equipped with television sent up in 1960, took many thousands of pictures of cloud formations. The weather satellites help in making long-range weather predictions and can give advance warnings of storms. In many parts of the world, people have seen the 30-meter silver-colored Echo 1 circling at 1,600 kilometers in space. Like a glowing star, it can be seen with the naked eye. It reflects radio signals from one Earth point to another. Echo is the first of a series of satellites launched by the United States that are expected to bring great advances in communication. Here's a picture. Navy Commander Alan B. Shepard, Jr., America's first astronaut. Through them, the worldwide television promises to be a reality. Scientists of other nations were invited to see Echo for experiments of their own. To use Echo for experiments. Another communications satellite, Courier, receives and stores messages until it is commanded by radio to release them. Pioneer 5 has radio back important data. It's at about 40,000 kilometres. 40,000 kilometres. So that's a tenth of the way to the moon. It discovered an electric current flowing around the Earth. It's also known that the Earth's magnetic field ends at about 96,000 kilometres, almost twice as far as it's thought to be. I think some of the things they're discussing, they're beginning to discover the Van Allen band. An instrument contained from the Discovery satellites in the outer space have been successfully recovered from the ocean on the and from the air far above the Pacific. Small animals have been shot into space and have been brought back alive. A test plane airplane, the X-15, reached the height of nearly 5 kilometres and travelled at a speed of more than 4,600 kilometres an hour. Isn't that different from what they said in here? Sorry, this is memory kicking in. Yeah, so they've sort of lied there by a factor of 700 kilometres an hour difference. During the next 10 years, the United States plans to send up more than 250 satellites and will attempt to land a spaceship on the moon. In May 61, Commander Alan Shepard made a suborbital flight, the first American astronaut to accomplish this feat. So he didn't actually orbit, he just went to shot up high. The development of a powerful rockets that will send up satellites owes much of the pioneering work of the late H.E. Goddard, American scientist known as the father of modern rocketry. Well, one of your Nazis, von Braun. New discoveries in electronics have added to space exploration. Tiny transistors are used in satellites to provide long-lasting power source. The principle of a transistor was announced in 1948 by the American scientist William Schottky. Walter Batten and John Bardeen later share the Nobel Prizes. Battery powered by sunlight is also developed for the use in satellites. Transistors are now being put to many uses. For hearing aids so tiny they can be mounted on eyeglasses, and for radios smaller than a cigarette package. Engineers are experimenting with placing sunlight batteries into the roofs of homes. 5 days of sunlight is believed can create enough power to operate the home's lights and the electricity for a year. Well, perhaps that's a bit weird, isn't it? Electronics, oceanography. Electronics is also making it possible for our scientists to make remarkable progress research into ocean waves. The United States Navy bathyscape Trieste has descended 11 kilometres to the bottom of the Marianas Trench in the Pacific. That's strange. I don't think we believe that. American scientists are working closely with those of other nations in ocean studies. One of the most startling discoveries is that there are strong currents far beneath the surface currents flowing in the opposite direction. It's a big picture of the United States of America. Gulf of Mexico, big rivers showing direction. Scientists think these low currents have influence on the weather and climate. They have learned too that there are mountains and valleys and broad flat plains in the ocean floors. They are learning ways to farm the sea to increase the ocean yields of food and to remove salt from the water. To protect the national, in a project of the National Academy of Sciences are planning to bore a hole 5 or 6 kilometres deep in the ocean floor under about 5 kilometres of water. They expect to find the remains of animals that have lived millions of years ago. Bizarro, bizarro. Another important area of scientific research is the Arctic. The United States is one of the 12 nations which in 59 signed a treaty that made the Antarctic an area for scientific research. 3 of the 6 United States research stations They are operated jointly by Australia, New Zealand and Argentina. It is believed that in 10 years the Arctic will have permanent settlements. Atomic power will supply heat and light, and aeroplanes will service the area regularly. Isn't that beautiful? Atomic energy. After the close of World War II, a long-range effort was begun to put the atom to peaceful uses. The United States Atomic Energy Commission, established in 1947, was supported by a broad research and development program in medicine, agriculture, industrial uses, and power production. Much of the work is carried out with the cooperation of private and civil organizations. Atomic isotopes are used to study diseases. In agriculture, they are used to help produce more and better crops and healthier animals. In industry, they help turn out better products. The United States has shared these radioisotopes with other nations, sending 20,000 shipments to research laboratories and hospitals in 70 nations since 1946. A training program of the Atomic Energy Commission has brought hundreds of foreign scientists to the United States to receive instruction on building atomic reactors and the use of radioisotopes. The United States has agreements with 40 countries to furnish information about the construction of reactors and provide fuel to them. In 1953, President Eisenhower proposed before the United Nations that a worldwide organization be formed to further peaceful use of atomic energy. The International Atomic Energy Agency was formed in 1957. It provides for the sharing of materials, information, and training so the benefits of atomic energy can spread around the world. Medical progress. Medicine has taken a great leap forward since the war. There is a growing list of wonder drugs to fight diseases. There are new methods of performing operations and new kinds of equipment, such as machines that can circulate blood during heart operations and artificial kidneys, which corrects blood chemistry. Vaccines such as the polio vaccine developed by Jonas Salk have provided effective preventing the spread of serious diseases. Profession. Technological project in recent years has brought about a sizable increase in the number of persons engaged in professions. Today, 11% of persons are in professions, compared with 8% in 1950 and 4% in 1900. In 1870, nearly 70% of those in professions were in medicine, in industry, law and teaching, compared with only 40% at present. Professions have grown over the years, but at a slower rate than some of the new professions. For example, there are three times as many doctors today as there were in 1870, while the number of persons in scientific and engineering fields has increased 100 times. Women fill about 37% of the positions in professions. Most of them are teachers and nurses, but there's a pressing need for engineers, doctors and scientists has provided them with greater opportunities in these areas. There's more than 1.5 million full-time teachers, 50% increase in 10 years. A major emphasis in 1960 on training more and better teachers. The National Public Elementary Schools have 800,000 teachers, 87% of them are women, and several thousand principals and supervisors. Some 100,000 teachers are employed by the private elementary schools. Higher schools employed 500,000 teachers, principals and supervisors. Colleges have 10,000 teachers. In the next 10 years, there'll be at least 10,000 new teachers a year will be needed in the elementary and secondary schools. There are 900,000 physicians, pharmacists, dentists and nurses. Educational requirements for these professions are high, ranging from at least 2 years of college training for nurses and 8 years of college study and hospital experience for a physician. 98% of the nation's 460,000 nurses are women. American physicians must meet exacting educational and training standards. There are 230,000 doctors, one for every 758 persons. Medical schools are expected to increase the number of graduates from 7,000 to 10,000 a year to meet the demand in the 1960s. A physician must complete 7 to 8 years study and 2 years more in his specialized in his particular field. He works 2 or 3 years in a hospital before entering private practice. Dentists must complete 6 years of college training before they are admitted to practice. 90% of the nation's 91,000 dentists are in private practice. There are 112,000 registered pharmacists in the United States, of whom 50,000 operate their own drug stores. Some 10% are employed by drug companies, manufacturers, and about 600 work for the federal government, mainly testing new drugs to be sure they're safe to use. The nation's 850,000 graduate engineers. They design and develop everything from household goods to space satellites. In addition, they have bachelor's degrees from the Electrical Engineering School. Many engineers obtain advanced degrees. 3/4 of the nation's engineers work in private industry. By late 1960s, colleges are expected to confer twice the present number of 35,000 engineering degrees a year. The age of science has created a heavy demand for persons trained in chemistry, physics, biology, and mathematics. About 300,000 men and women are in the field, a 500% increase since 1930. Some 120,000 are chemists, about 10% of them are women. Half the nation's 30,000 physicists work for private companies, and about 20% teach physics. The science professions require at least 4 years of college training. There are 400,000 professional accountants and auditors, including 60,000 certified CPAs. To qualify for CPA, one must pass examination and meet educational experience requirements established by state laws. There are 225,000 lawyers, nearly 80% of whom are in private practice. The federal government employs about 12,000 and a similar number work in the state and local governments. A lawyer must have 3 years of college and 3 years of professional training in a law school. Before he can practice in the state, he must pass a written examination. Services. There are more people in the United States today are engaged in services than in producing goods. This can be expected to continue over the next 10 years, especially in a rapidly growing field such as finance, banking, insurance, automobile and other repair services, hotels, theatres, cleaning establishments, employs some 6 million people. Another 6 million are in the service jobs in the United States and local governments, engaged in police, firefighting, protection and office duties. Some 2.2 million work for the federal government. Clerks form the largest single group of the service workers. About 1 in every 7 persons is a clerk or is engaged in related work. Americans today are spending for services, things that people need or want, which are not tangible products, more than 40% of their incomes. Banking and finance. The Federal Reserve was established in 1913 to give stability and centralization to the nation's financial affairs. About half the nation's 14,000 banks belong to the system, which operates through a Federal Reserve Bank in each of 12 districts. Member banks handle more than 3/4 of the nation's total bank deposits of $250 billion. The federal government can increase and decrease the reserves held by member banks, and in this way control the availability of loans. It lends monies to members' banks for reserves, issues paper monies, raises and lowers the bank's interest rates to check inflationary trends in the economy. Money on deposit in the nation's bank, much of it belonging to individuals as well as businesses, is channeled into various economic activities through loans. It is used to finance commercial enterprises in the building of private homes. Outstanding loans have made the National Bank an amount of $136 billion or more. Savings up to $10,000 in banks and in most of the 7,000 building and loan associations are insured by the federal government. Much of this money is used for loans to build and repair homes, and for the purchase of interest-bearing stocks and bonds. Wow. Insurance companies' economic activities insurance companies finance economic activities by underwriting construction of large building projects. The total capital is estimated at $110 billion. Most of the capital comes from the millions of individuals who have bought insurance protection against death, sickness, accident, retirement benefits of their age. The arts. Interest in the arts has increased greatly among Americans in recent years. 100 new art museums opened in 1959 alone. The art festivals are held in many parts of the country each year. In the big cities and university towns throughout the nation, art centres are being built. When finished in... I'm going to show you the Guggenheim, very famous Guggenheim thing. Yeah, that's a natural shot. And then that's, okay, it says here, galleries spur interest in arts. Shown is the Guggenheim Museum in New York, designed by the late Frank Lloyd Wright. Summer concert in the Hollywood Bowl in California, one of the nation's hundreds of outdoor theatres. And really, it's, compared to what's normally, it's paddock. And you can see the lights, street lights. There's a few bright street lights. Everything's really dim by this photograph. And you can see the hills in the background have got just, you know, really spread out things. 1963, the great $75 million Lincoln Center of Performing Arts under the construction in New York will house the Metropolitan Opera Company and the New York Philharmonic Orchestra and the Gillard School of Music, a repertory theater and a library museum. Music. All kinds of music is extremely popular. More than twice as much money is spent on concert and opera tickets and on recordings as for sport events. About $300 billion is spent annually on plays, operas, music and concerts. In addition, $85 million on classical records. I don't know why they're trying to say this. Radio stations boast about 9,000 hours of musical programs weekly combined. Okay. Many programs are made up almost entirely of classical music. Symphony operas are held often on radio and television programs. For some reason, the Yanks want to tell us that. Oh, yeah, keeps on going. There are 1,100 symphony orchestras in the United States. The city of Los Angeles alone sports 20. Yeah, no, you're going to be getting me to convince there's 1,100 at that 20. So there's 200 cities, 200. Okay, I find that figure hard to believe. The New York Philharmonic and the great orchestras of the Boston, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Chicago are known throughout the world. Summer music festivals feature leading orchestras, soloists, and opera companies. Two of the best-known festivals are held in Tanglewood, Massachusetts East, and Aspen, Colorado in the West. Free outdoor public concerts are held during the summer months in many cities. There are numerous schools of music and music departments in many universities. Notable performers have developed by the schools include pianist Van Cleburne, Yushin Istom, and Grant Johnston, and violinist Yudi Mencien and Isaac Sturm. Veteran American composers are making important contributions to the present serious music include Roy Harris, Howard Hanson, Aston Copland, Virgil Thomas, Walter Piston, Roger Sessions, and Wallingford Riga. A younger group includes Walter Schumann, David Ranson, Samuel Barber, Gianco Mendotti, Peter Minin, Ulysses K, and Leonard Bernstein. Of course, Bernstein's the one that's really held up. That's not too bad. So they want to say what serious music is. They're not stupid Americans listening to the Jailhouse Rock and Elvis. There are 728 opera companies in America. More than 20 years of famous Metropolitan New York has broadcast a performance every Saturday afternoon during the opera season, bringing music of the highest quality to millions of American listeners and to a vast audience aboard. Some of the best known operas and concert singers are Reese Stevens, Elin Farrell, Patrice Muscle, Richard Tucker, Robert Merrill. Amateur groups bring opera productions to people living in their small cities. Musicals. The American theatre has perfected the unusual art form of the modern musical plan. These musicals combine traditional modern dancing and the original music with a story of dramatic interest. Examples are Porgy and Bess, Oklahoma, South Pacific, The King and I, My Fair Lady. Well-known composers of musicals include Frederick Lowy, Cole Porter, Frank Losser, Richard Rodgers, and the late George Gershwin. Well, it's pretty amazing. It has lasted. Jazz music continues to appeal to millions. Jazz bands or even two or three men combinations are heard in restaurants, nightclubs, theatres, dance balls, and on the radio and television. Traditional and modern dancing, this is the dance. And there's a picture here, the New York City Ballet, a scene of Les Littlefields performed on television. This professional company enjoys great popularity. Traditional and modern dancing have many admirers, and interest in ballet has increased enormously in the past 20 years. Nearly every city has at least one school teaching ballet for children. Three professional ballet companies are now well established: the New York Ballet, the American Ballet Theatre, and the Ballet Russe of Monte Carlo. Jerome Robbins, George Blaschini, and Angus DeMille are the best-known creators of dance forms. Among the well-known dancers are Lucia Chase, Nora Kay, Igor Yusevich, John Ritzer, Eric Bourne, and Maria Tallchef. The number of excellent original American ballets have been created, but the classical French and Russian works continue to have great appeal. Nationwide television programs help make all forms of dancing popular. Just getting a bit more politically. Literature. Many promising young writers are becoming known, but long-established novelists, playwrights are still popular. The Nobel Prize for Literature has been given to five Americans: Sinclair Lewis, Eugene O'Neill, Pearl Buck, William Faulkner, and Ernest Hemingway. Leading poets include Robert Frost and Carl Sandburg. Amongst the distinguished writers are plays are Arthur Miller, William Saron, Tennessee Williams, and William Ing. Plays by the late Eugene O'Neill are frequently performed, particularly by repertory theatres. More than 15,000 books are published each year. Low-cost books in paper covers make available some of the world's best literature to American readers. Which is really interesting about Benjamin Franklin invented the public library. This is just an aside, I wish they'd say that. Each day, an average of nearly one American paper books are sold in the United States. About 950 million copies of all books, including textbooks, are sold each during the year. So that's 365, that's roughly the book of another form is sold with the paperback. Publishers find growing interest in the serious works, biography, serious works, history, economics, philosophy, religion, and science. 10 million Americans belong to book clubs and receive books regularly at reduced prices. Oh, that's interesting what a book club is. There are more than 12,800 libraries in the United States. Of these, over 10,000 are free public libraries, which lend about 400 million books a year, which is less than what's sold. More than 1,400 university libraries. Harvard University has the largest. There are at least 400 medical and nearly 300 government libraries. The Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. is the nation's largest. So it's rather sad when CSIRO got rid of its library. It used to maintain libraries. The art and sculpture. Many Americans study art for the sake of creative expression, and there are several million amateurs, painters, and sculptors. Others are serious artists who make their life work. The nation has more than 500 art schools. Some of the best-known painters in recent years are Ben Stohr and Thomas Hart Benton, Georgia O'Keeffe, and the late John Martin, and the late Grant Wood. In folk art, a 400-year-old Grandma Moses is known in many parts. The 100-year-old Grandma Moses is known in many parts of the world for her primitive paintings of rural American scenes of her girlhood. Well-known sculptors, Maneve Malvina Hoffman and the late Joe Davison, In architecture, the works of Walter Gropius, Edward D. Stone, and the late Franklin Lloyd Wright are widely known. Nearly every known size town of any size has an art gallery, a museum, or both. Known art museums include the National Gallery in Washington, D.C., the Metropolitan Museum, the nation's largest, the Museum of Modern Art, and the Guggenheim Museum in New York. The Art Institute of Chicago and the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. Each year over 10 million persons, 100 million people, visit the nation's 2,500 galleries. So that's well over several, about 50,000 people a gallery. Alright. Oh yeah, that's a fair number of people. Several million amateur painters are sculpted in America, and for a more serious, the nation has 500 art schools. So this person's doing painting, and everyone's in the art, watching this artist paint. It's sort of a contrived scene if I've ever seen it before. It's bizarre. And they're all serious. Here's a big picture. Poet Robert Frost with members of Sarah Lawrence College Choral Group. I don't know why he's just sitting there, a picture of him. Community theatres in many cities and towns present a wide variety of dance and theatrical productions. And colour television cameras, camera around stars at a special performance of a Broadway play being given for TV viewers. Now, it's really interesting. There, it's very, you can see people are pretty amazing. It's just the phosphorus. I've got to remember the element that they discovered. I think it was europium. Stage and screen, this is a fair amount of things. Most new plays are presented first on Broadway and the Theatre District of New York. If they are successful, they later go on the road to scores of cities throughout the country. More than 50 productions are presented each season on Broadway. To many Americans, seeing a Broadway show is a high point of their visit to the nation's largest city. In recent years, the other side of New York theatre has developed, known as Off-Broadway. These plays are modestly staged in small playhouses, but some rank with the best of Broadway performances in professional skills, and many enjoy long runs. After a regular theatre season is closed, more than 400 summer theatres go into action in rural areas, in suburbs, at seashore and mountain resorts. Some of the theatres is only a made-over barn or even a tent. Well-known actors often appear in these plays. At the same time, ambitious young students at theatres have an opportunity to work under experienced actors and directors. Pageant-like plays staged outdoors are growing popularity. One of the best known, called The Common Glory, is the story of America's early history formed every summer in Williamsburg, Virginia. I wonder if that's still going. I'll have to look it up on the internet. There are more than 5,000 community theatres scattered throughout the country. Among those which have become famous are the Pasadena Playhouse in California, the Cleveland Playhouse in Ohio, the Margot Jones Playhouse in Dallas, Texas, and the Arena Theatre in Washington, D.C. There are 25,000 amateur theatre groups in cities and small towns and universities and churches and trade union halls and community centres. During the season, some 125 million people attend their performances. Motion pictures remain the favourite form of entertainment despite the popularity of television. There are more than 13,200 motion picture theatres and about 500 outdoor drive-in, in inverted commas. The best domestic and foreign films available may be seen in the neighbourhood theatres. Not as many feature films are being made today as there were 10 years ago, but the quality of films has improved. Many movies are now made by independent producers with fresh ideas and approaches. They select their own stories and treat the subjects in any way they think will appeal to the adult audiences. Many films made abroad enrich American screens with new faces and new ideas. Modern methods of movie making, such as widescreen, glowing colour, and improved sounds, have brought more realism and more satisfactory entertainment appeal. The educational documentary film has a wide appeal also. Educational films are shown in schools, churches, clubs, as well as theatres. Television on the 52 million receiving sets gives the American people a wide variety of TV sets. 52 million TV sets, a wide variety of programs from early morning to up to late at night. Many of the programs are excellent and have brought unusual talent to millions of homes. Televisions featured great entertainers like Danny Kaye, Louis Armstrong, and the brilliant singer of Renate Telbaldi. I'll have to see who she is. Television has given viewers new insights into history, art, music, literature, ballet, and theatre, as discoveries of modern science and the wonders of the universe. Some television programs are designed specifically for children. The television viewer pays no tax or charge for the use of the receiving set. The cost of progress is borne chiefly by the sponsors, who are given the opportunity to advertise their goods and services during the programs. A typical Florida community, this is a picture, and it's, well, year-round warm climate in the southern state makes it popular with winter vacations and retired workers. The easy-to-care-for new homes in the American Midwest are made of aluminium coated with long-lasting hard finish of bright-colored plastic enamel. There you go, what a lovely 60s theme. Way of life. Living standards. The population of 182 million more than the 70 million were in civilian labor supply. In a population of 182 million, more than 70 million are in the civilian labor supply in 1960. An average yearly income of each person in the United States is about $2,300. The average family income is about $6,400. Family incomes increase at a rate twice as fast as the living cost between 47 and 61. Retirement age of most workers can leave regular jobs and live on Social Security payment for other pensions. The needy aged are given aid from the federal state assistance programs. Three-fifths of all families and individuals are in the middle or high income ranks. They are able to afford three-fifths. That's 60%. And why does that, don't say 60%. They're able to afford not only basic needs, food, shelter and clothing, but also many of the comforts of modern living. The worker has become a major consumer of goods he produces. The American spends money freely and goes into debt temporarily when necessary to buy things they require. These debts are paid off on a regular monthly basis. The buying habits of Americans have changed in recent years. Post-war demands on household goods have slowed down. More money is being spent on education, medical care services, travel, recreation, and a smaller percentage on income on food, clothing, and automobiles. In recent years, small cars with low maintenance costs have become popular. Gifts to churches, charitable education organizations have greatly increased. But most families manage to save money an average of 5 to 7% of the income, either as bank deposits, government bonds, or insurance. Americans now have more than $80 billion or $80 billion in savings. About 86% of families have some sort of life insurance. Food and housing. Most people eat a balanced diet. Their diet of meat, fish, vegetables, and dairy food. No carbohydrates or wheats or vegetables. Oh, yeah, there is vegetables. Other prices of food and other commodities have risen. 1 hour's take-home pay buys twice as much as it did 30 years ago. Today, the average man needs to work 6 minutes to earn enough to buy a loaf of bread, 4 minutes to buy a kilogram of potatoes, 45 minutes to buy a kilogram of beef or butter, 8 minutes to buy a liter of milk, 23 hours to buy a wool suit, and 7 hours to buy a pair of leather shoes. The package of 20 cigarettes costs about 6 minutes work time. The average workman can afford to buy an automobile every 4 to 5 years. Housing development near Washington, D.C., are typical of many similar projects springing up all over the United States. And here's a crippled children learn to work with the helping hand of a nurse and a full-size mirror to show their progress. That's great. You've got a full-size. Most workers have modern labour-saving equipment, such as electric washing machines, refrigerators in their homes. The majority of Americans have live in apartments or individual houses which have electric lights, central heating, hot and cold running water, and inside toilets. In 1960s, there was nearly 59 million housing units, up from 46 million in 1915. Many large cities, old sections are being torn down and replaced with modern housing. Many housing projects are built with public funds, are designed for people with low incomes. Because of the general rise in family incomes, one finds living together in the same suburban communities, in homes very much alike, and factory workers and small businesses, the school teacher and the salesman. Because of the general rise in family incomes, one finds living in the same... So it means it's a uniform demographic. You know, everyone works together in the utopia, US utopia. His pictures. From American university come men and women who help advance the cultural technical standards of living in the United States. Many older Americans continue education with a variety of adult education classes conducted in the evening. These are adult classes. Health and medical care. 60 years ago, the average American would expect to live to 47. Today, he should reach 70. The death rate of babies has gone down steadily. Now, nearly 3% of infants die the first year. Oh my God, Father, look at that. 47, far out. The average American is dead by what? Let me read. 47. Oh yeah, okay. One reason for the better health is the continuous battle waged against diseases that spread through bodily contact. 60 years ago, these diseases accounted for 4 out of every 10 deaths. Today, they account for 1 in 12. The major health problem in the United States is in the care of the aged who suffered from lingering illnesses that go with advancing years. Good medical care, numerous hospitals, public health services are widely available, but the need increases to improve them is recognized. An establishment of $21 billion is spent yearly to finance public health services, medical-related research, education, medical professions, and medical services for individuals. Over 127 million persons have some kind of insurance to help cover their medical and hospital insurances. The American people spend over $17 billion years annually on medical care. The government helps care for those who cannot pay for health benefits. It contributes to the construction costs of some public hospitals. There are nearly 7,000 hospitals in the United States. Many provide free or low-cost care to those who cannot pay. Some 400 are operated by the federal government. Others are operated by the state and local government, by churches and various organizations, by individuals or by corporations. About five or six factory and office workers, along with their families, are covered by a group of health plans paid for by employers or by workers and employers. Many industrial organizations provide medical services for their workers. Health rooms from hospitals, equipments, and trained nurses are found in many factories and office buildings. Well, there you go, the United States. Education. Americans take great pride in their schools, and they want their children to have their best education. Only 2% of the population cannot read or write, compared with 20% almost a century ago. There are nearly 46 million students enrolled in colleges. New methods of instruction are being developed in schools, and children are encouraged to develop their creative abilities. The greater emphasis on science, maths, and foreign languages in an effort to make a broadening students' knowledge of other people's cultures. Television and motion pictures are now used widely in teaching. More effort has been made to guide young people into careers suited to their natural talents and abilities. This is in keeping with Americans' belief that every child should have the opportunity to develop along whatever path he chooses. Free public schools supported by taxes were established in the early days of the nation, with each state responsible for organizing its own education system. Most states require that children go to school until they are a certain age, which varies from 16 to 18 years. Educational requirements vary and are set by state legislators with the management of schools by local communities. Community school boards, and there are 48,000, are free to establish educational programs that exceed the basic requirements set by state laws, and they usually do. Today, almost half of the young people who graduate from secondary school go to college. Some 3,600,000 students attend more than 2,000 institutions of higher education. The University of California, with its branch colleges alone, has more than 44,000 students. Most colleges admit students on the basis of high school records. The cost of college education is substantial in private universities, but is much less supported states and cities. For more than 50% of college students work to pay their expenses. Scholarships are given to many deserving students. Some cover the entire expenses of attendance at college. The National Defense Education Act provides federal funds to help the state build more schools. So defense education, I wonder what that could be interesting. Defense, I know that it's the military will be behind all of it. Also promotes education in science, mathematics, and modern foreign languages. It provides loans to college students. More than 100,000 have been aided in loans under the Act, some of which need not be repaid under certain conditions. Ending segregation. In most states, Negroes and white students attend the same school. A ruling of the Supreme Court in 1954 ordered the end of the system of separate schools, which had been maintained by 17 states. Gradually, all the states were carrying out the court order. Of the 3,200,000 students in colleges and universities, there's more than, wait for it, 200,000 Negroes. In general, almost twice as many American women attend American colleges than women earn one-third of all the college degrees. Each year, about 385,000 students receive their first college degree, some 70,000 are master's degrees, and nearly 9,500 get doctor's degrees. Every year, between 30 and 85 million adults take education courses in everything from engineering to poetry writing. They may be housewives, businessmen, clerks, mechanics, and labourers. Many courses in adult education are given at night in public schools, town halls, and community centres. Here's a bookstore, a typical bookstore. I love cash register. It says, please bring your selections to the counter. And it's a 605 some US place. And it's interesting that ladies are wearing hats inside. So it must be. Social securities. Most Americans today have some kind of insurance against old age and unemployment, long-term illness and injury, and death of a family wage earner. And nearly all who work, including self-employed, are covered by retirement programs. 4 out of 5, except the self-employed, have now unemployment insurance. And Social Security law provides a national system of old age survivors and disability insurance, and federal state programs of unemployment insurance and public help for the needy, aged, to the blind and disabled and dependent children. Over the years, law has been broadened to give greater protection for workers and their dependents and survivors, for the aged and retired, widows, fatherless children, and for the disabled. About 90% of the workers, that's interesting, fathers, children, it's not, you know, single mothers, I suppose. About 90% of the workers are covered by the Federal Old Age Survivors Disability Insurance. The program is financed by tax contributions paid over a period of years by employers and workers. Self-employed persons with earnings over $400 or more per year are also covered. Monthly payments are made to male workers when they retire upon reaching 65, women when they reach 62. Benefits, which is interesting, and benefits are also paid to widows, children under 18, and dependent parents. more than 15 million persons are receiving monthly payments from the Old Age Survivors Disability Insurance. Newly retired workers get an average of $82 a month. Unemployment insurance is financed by payroll tax by the employer. The federal government provides money to the state to pay the cost of operating the program. The state determines the condition under which the benefits are paid. The average weekly payment of about $33 in 1960. Some industries' wage contracts with labour unions raise the payment to double this amount. Civilians who work in the federal government are covered by the insurance system that they generally provide cash payments for their unemployment, retirement, medical costs and disability and death. Most state and city governments' workers have similar protections. The federal government also has a program to protect railroad workers and members of the armed forces. All the states have laws which provide payments to workers or families for work-connected injury and death. The federal government makes grants to the state to keep them provide financial assistance, medical care and other social services to the needy, aged, blind, disabled and dependent children in broken families. The average payment under federal state public aid program in January 1961 was $69 monthly per person of the age, $74 for the blind, $67 for disabled and $115 for broken families with dependent children. The federal government has also helped states to meet the cost of medical care of aged persons who can provide their maintenance and medical, but not their medical attention. Okay. Millions of workers in industries get extra protection through private plans. These usually provide sickness and accident benefits, hospital, medical operation costs, disability, retirement pensions and life insurance amounting to years' wages. In the last 10 years, there have been a steady rise in profit-sharing plans, many of which provide pensions for workers. In 1916, nearly 4,000 new profit-sharing plans were developed. More than 23,000 business organisations have retirement plans that cover more than 9 million workers. Many labour unions aim to increase retirement payments beyond what the workers will be paid under the Social Security law. Retired coal miners received $100 a month, paid entirely by the coal companies, under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement with the Coal United Mines Workers Union. Keeps on going on. Most American workers today get vacations, most American workers today get vacations and holidays with pay, are protected against discharge without just cause, receive unemployment insurance, retirement pay, are protected against sickness and injury while on the job. They also earn far more money than they did in the past. Much of this is due to their own efforts and through their free trade unions. Attempts were made to form trade unions soon after the United States became a nation, but the first major unions were not started until 1869, that's after the Civil War. What had been a secret society of Philadelphia garment workers grew into the Knights of Labor, and that in 1886 had a membership of nearly 1 million. However, it grew too fast and the social and political aims were so confused that it ended up doing very little to help the worker. Well, that's amazing. What, the Knights of Labor? I'm going to have to see that. The situation changed in 1881 when the Federation of Organized Trade and Labor Unions was begun under the leadership of Samuel Grompers, president of the Scar Makers Union. In 1886, it had become America's Federation of Labor, AFL. Wow. AFL. That's just also the Australian Football League. Grompers fought for domestic trade unionism, free from political and other outside influence, and built the AFL into America's major labor organization. In 1935, a dispute arose among the AFL leaders over whether to organize workers in mass industries through separate occupation unions or through abroad industrial unions. This led to the formation of the Congress of Industrial Organization, CIO, with representatives from the United Mine Workers and other international unions. Auto, steel, radio and rubber workers organized under industrial unionism. 20 years later, CIO has nearly 5 million members in 34 unions. An important step was taken in 1955 when the AFL and CIO were united in the American Federation of Labor Congress industrial organization. I wonder if you're going to give the what that means. AFL-CIO. The combined group has a single voice of the labour movement of 15 million workers. The AFL-CIO, associated with the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, which has a total membership of more than 55 million people throughout the world. United States law supports the right of workers to organise unions in their own choice. Today, there are 184 American labour unions that operate through 78,000 local unions. Their membership is divided about evenly between manufacturing and other industries. More than 18 million workers belong to labour unions. Of these, some 3.3 million are women, American women. Let's hear what American women are doing. Women are active in sports. Here, Wilma Rudolph, winner of 3 gold medals in the 1960s Olympics, breaks the tape on the 200-meter dash. There's Wilma doing fantastic. The advances of American women in the last generation have been outstanding. Having the same opportunities as men for education, they are now engaged in almost every occupation. An American girl can choose a career in any profession, teaching, law, medicine, and science, except if you're a Negro, of course. 67 women have served the U.S. Congress since the first woman was elected in 1916. Wow! 2 women have been in state government, and 2 have been members of the president's cabinet. 15 are now serving in the House of Representatives and 2 in the Senate. There are 344 in state legislature and they hold important positions in the national, state and local governments. A woman is serving as an official physician to President Kennedy. Tell them not to go to the grassy knoll. About 35% of the labour force are women, the largest group being 6.4 million employed as office clerks and secretaries. About half as many work in industrial plants. 60% of the medical and other health workers are women. They make up 74% of all teachers of elementary and secondary school, 97% of all stenographers, typists, secretaries. Some American women are the top business executives and many own their own business. Science professionals are attracting more women than ever before. Since 1940, the percentage of working wives has doubled to 42% of the working wives have children of school age. Although and more than a third of all women of working age are in the labour force, to most American women, homemaking remains a chief interest. Most girls marry when they are 20 to 21 and rear families of 2 to 3 children. The vast majority of housewives do their own housework. Whether they are in jobs or stay at home, many American women are keenly aware of their duties as a citizen. They take an active part in advancing public welfare, especially the concerns of home and family. There are few who do not belong to at least one organisation. Today they have created a large organisation, many associated with international groups, that aim to make women more aware of their social political duties. Among those are the General Federation of Women's Club, the League of Women's Voters, the American Association of University Women, the Young Women's Christian Association, the YWCA, Women in business and professionals have reform organizations which help advance their economic position. Youth. Women in the United States have a wide variety of interests apart from their school work. As children, both boys and girls play many of the same games. They swim, play baseball, basketball, go boating, camping, and have fun with many sports, outdoor activities. There are numerous character-building youth organizations that give young people a chance to develop and broaden their interests. I hope they mention Scouts. To gain experience with working with others. Among the organizations are the Boy Scouts, which have more than 4 million members, Girl Scouts, which is 3.5 million, and the Boys Club, and they show people playing chess and playing basketball. And Boys Club of America is 600,000. These and other groups are guided by adults who volunteer their services. We now know how they also volunteer. The Young Americans Christian Association and the Young Women's Christian Association operates the neighborhood sports social centers. There are more than 4 million members. Churches also provide cultural organizations for the young people. In farming areas, boys and girls learn to work together in agriculture, homemaking, citizenship activities, and more than 90,000 4-H clubs have 2.3 million members. Each club, boys and girls compete for national prizes in raising farm animals and growing crops. I don't understand that one. High schools offer students a wide variety of activities that develop talents and skills. There are clubs for photography, music, theatre, art, stamp collecting, natural sciences and debating. I'll be into stamp collecting. Often there are school orchestras, bands and group singing clubs. They're showing leisure boats, and it's really thousands of fresh and saltwater beaches provide healthful summer recreation for American families, and show the Americans there. Most schools and colleges have some form of student government. Almost every school holds elections to choose class representatives. These elected officers speak to their fellow students at student council meetings with teachers and school officials. They also organise school activities and take part in such community projects as raising money for public welfare. Many young people hold part-time jobs after school hours. Thousands of them earn money by delivering newspapers. Later, when they go to college, many youths continue to work part-time for a variety of jobs to help pay for the expenses. For several weeks during the summer vacation, about 5 million school children go to camps where they can get plenty of recreation activities and learn skills. There's more than 12,000 camps operated by private citizen organisations. College students often work as counsellors in the groups. Recreation, page 73. The general work week of the United States is 40 hours. This gives worker ample time for recreation and furthering his education. Many Americans take some kind of sports. In recent years, boating has become a favorite recreation for millions. Many Americans like to hunt and fish. Nearly 40 million fishing and hunting permits are issued each year. There are 20 million bowlers. Other popular sports include swimming, bicycling, skating, and all kinds of ball games. In communities throughout the nation, playgrounds, swimming pools, and recreation centers are provided. Many cities have ice skating areas, baseball fields, swimming pools, and playgrounds lighted at night. Even parachute jumping has followers. Some 15,000 persons engaged in the hazardous sport today, compared with 155. In autumn, the college football games attract millions, many of whom are graduates of the school and come to cheer their school teams. Sports organizations send their best players and teams to compete in the regional and worldwide events, such as the Pan American Games and the Olympic Games. About 143 million persons attend basketball games each year. The Major League Basketball games attract more than 32 million people a year. The enthusiasm, which reaches high pitch during the World Series game in fall. College football draws $25 million as spectators. At home, millions watch all kinds of sport events on TV and listen to sport broadcasts on radio, with an option ballet, of course. There are also countless numbers who attend baseball, football, and other teams. The contests played in small towns, in the neighborhood playgrounds, in school sports areas. Here's a big picture. Lombard Street, called the crookedest street in the world by many tourists a wavy street, I don't understand. Vacation is at Yellowstone National Park, the hourly performance of the Old Faithful. Well, there it is. We're all sitting there. So boring. A 60-foot-high bust of President Washington, Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Lincoln. Theodore Roosevelt got himself in there. Isn't he Teddy the one who took Panama? Niagara Falls, a long major attraction, draws 3.5 million visitors a year. Falls are light at night in colour. Wow, way back then. Photography, stamp collecting, needlework, gardening are only a few of the favourite interests. Other hobbies include painting, sculpture, wood and metalworking. Many people like to improve or enlarge their homes and to do the work themselves. Others use some of their spare time to take courses at night schools. Cinema is still very popular despite the growing competition with TV. A 2 week or longer, this is interesting because this is a different font. I don't understand why this is a condensed font. So it's obviously, it's really interesting. I'm very sensitive to people changing font. And this is a slightly smaller spacing timing. A 2 week or longer vacation with pay is widespread practice in the industry. Oh. Many Americans use the time to travel, especially to see magnificent scenery, natural wonders, and points of historic interest are found in so many areas of the country. Each year, 64 million visit the national parks. There are 27 of these continental United States and one in Hawaii and the Virgin Islands. Many of the parks have public camping areas. A number of campers in public parks have doubled in the last 10 years, as well as hotels and restaurants. In many parks, visitors can swim, go fishing, attend lectures, as you do, and take advantage of a variety of sports and outdoor activities. Some of the nation's most impressive natural wonders are Niagara Falls, Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, Glacier National Parks. Here, big pictures here. The Magnificent Grand Canyon and full freedom of religion in America. Here, worshippers attend Easter morning at sunrise at Yosemite National Park. Oh, it's weird. It's the weirdest painting picture I've ever seen. It's got a cross in it. Someone's doing it, and there's people across the bay. I don't understand that. There are 222 state parks. 22,000 state parks. An estimate 100,000 Americans go mountain climbing on weekends. Many tourists visit Washington, D.C. to see the White House and Lincoln Memorial and Washington Monument, Capitol Building, and George Washington's home, and at Mount Vernon in nearby Virginia. Many go to the Civil War battlefield of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, where large sculptures, the heads of four famous presidents, are carved in the mountains. I didn't know Teddy Roosevelt was one of them. I don't know how he got his head in there. Other popular attractions, that's bizarre. So I wonder when that was made, obviously after Teddy Roosevelt. So they wouldn't have been carved this in the 20th century. Other popular attractions are the Statue of Liberty, the United Nations Building, the Empire State Building in New York, and attractions of San Francisco and the West Coast. So they haven't built the World Trade Centers yet. But Americans like to see other countries as well as their own. Each year, over 600,000 go to Europe, about 50,000 go to South America, rather than 600 goes to Bermuda, Indies, and Central America. Oh, gee, we've missed out. Thank you. I didn't watch you anyway, you Yanks. Asians and African countries are also attracting more tourists each year. Finally got religion and voluntary aid. It's really interesting. The fonts are different here. Freedom to choose religion, your own church and faith to worship according to your own conscience is a right of every American. The First Amendment and Constitution says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion and prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Americans in every state have the same freedom to worship. Between 40 and 60, church membership of the United States increased almost 70%. So 1949-60, today, 63 out of every 100 Americans are members of a church or temple. Most of the others do not belong to a church, have some kind of religious faith, and less than 3% say they have no religion. Throughout the country, there are more than 300,000 local church groups with 158 religious sects. Protestants outnumber the other religious groups, 65 million. This is Protestants, while 40 million Roman Catholics and 5 million of the Jewish faith, 2 million of the Eastern Orthodox Church. I'm just rounding these up. Every major religion known in the world is represented in America, including Islam, Buddhist, Russian, Greek Orthodox faith, and I would say, good on you, Zoroastrians. Both children and adults attend classes in religious study provided by various religious groups. More than 41 million children attend these classes. This is Sunday school. Nearly all colleges and universities give courses in religious studies, but public elementary and secondary schools do not, for the separation of church and state is a basic American principle. Not here in Australia. You have the opt-out, a complicated opt-out service if you don't want to go to a religious training here in a state school. Each week, 2. Radio and television programs of a religious nature given by the various faiths. And throughout America, the Bible continues to be the bestseller of all books, in about 7 million copies a year. Supported by children's homes, support from churches come from the people. The government gives no direct subsidy to any church, but exempts churches from paying taxes on income and property. Voluntary aid. Each American makes a voluntary contribution of more than $7 million to churches, hospitals, Red Cross, community healthcare, welfare organizations, and foreign agencies. There's also more than 1,000 foundations in the United States established mainly by wealthy individuals or groups, which spend more than $700 million a year to promote educational, medical, welfare projects at home and abroad. Okay. So, 1,000, these are outstanding dates. 1,000, Leif Erikson sails into the waters of America for some reason. 1492, Christopher sails the oceans blue. 1607, so that's, you know, that's 500, that's 100 years after Christopher Columbus comes along. Like, more than 100 years. The first permanent English settlement founded in what is now the state of Virginia. Okay, alright. 1878, the first telephone exchange. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll get this out. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.